Well, praise God. Praise God, we are in our new sanctuary. And this morning, we are going to do something a little bit different. We are, if you see in your bulletins, it says under the sermon, it lists Pastor Jeremy and Pastor Les. We are both going to preach this morning. I told Bob Shackelford, I don't know where he is, and Tom Stoltz, I told them that we are both going to preach this morning, and if I preach an hour, and Pastor Jeremy preaches an hour, we will be out of here by 1 o'clock today. I love you, Brother Aaron. And they said, well, Pastor, we have good news and bad news for you. And I said, well, what's that? And they said, well, the good news is we didn't move the clock from the old sanctuary over to the new sanctuary. So you can preach as long as you want. I said, that's great. Praise the Lord. And then they said, but the bad news is at 12 o'clock, the trap door behind the pulpit opens up. You go down and we're leaving. I've been looking. But we're going to preach a message this morning, which we've entitled, Sailing the High Seas. Sailing the High Seas. Not S-E-A-S, but C apostrophe S. And you'll see on your bulletin, or in your bulletin on the outline, every one of the points begin with the letter C. And so we're gonna preach on sailing the high seas. So let's have a word of prayer. Lord, we're thankful today again, and we're rejoicing to be able to be here and be in our new sanctuary. And we pray today that as we open up the Word of God, that you, Holy Spirit, would be here in our midst, that you would fill our hearts, that you would open the eyes of our heart that we might be able to see the truths that are in the Word of God, and that you would speak to us loudly and clearly here in this place this day. And Lord, help us to be obedient to what you tell us. Speak to each and every one of us, Lord. We ask in Jesus' name. God's people said, amen. 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 First C, celebration. Celebration. And this is a day of celebration. The dictionary defines celebrate to observe a day or event with ceremonies of respect, festivity, or rejoicing. To rejoice in or have special festivities to mark a happy day or an event. And I thought about that. You know what? The world really knows how to celebrate. The world knows how to celebrate. A professional sports team wins a championship. They close down a city, streets. They close down the city, have a parade. People cheer. They're excited. We don't know too much about that around here. But we did have the Cavs win. You remember when the Cavs won? You remember what they did up in Cleveland? Man, there are thousands of people. Some of the people from our church actually went up there, and it was maddening, but they were celebrating. Or if a person wins a presidential election, they have an inauguration, and then they have parties all night long, and they celebrate. They celebrate. Or how about New Year's Eve? I mean, the world knows they celebrate. They get together, they have parties, they get together and they do all kinds of stuff. And then they watch the ball drop if they're still standing. And they watch the ball drop. And they celebrate. You know, the world's always looking for something to celebrate. Sometimes we Christians have a hard time celebrating. We can't celebrate like the world does. We don't drink. We don't get drunk. We don't make fools of ourselves. But you know what? We, of all people, should be celebrating. We've got things to celebrate as the people of God. We are the people, we have a reason to celebrate. And this morning is a day of celebration. And I want to invite you to turn in your phones to Psalm 105. Turn in your Bibles to Psalm 105, because Psalm 105 is written by David, and it is a psalm of celebration. And I want to read Psalm 105. I'm going to read verses 1 through 15. We're going to take a look at this. Psalm of celebration. David writes in Psalm 105, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him. Sing praises to him. Speak of all his wonders. Glory in his holy name. Let the heart of those who seek the Lord be glad. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. Remember his wonders which he has done, his marvels and his judgments uttered by his mouth. O seed of Abraham, his servant, O sons of Jacob, his chosen ones, he is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He has remembered his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations, the covenant which he made with Abraham and his oath to Isaac. Then he confirmed it with Jacob for a statute, to Israel as an everlasting covenant, saying, 'To you I will give the land of Canaan as the portion of your inheritance,' when they were only a few men in number, very few, and strangers in it. And they wandered about from nation to nation, from one kingdom to another people. He permitted no man to oppress them, and he reproved kings for their sakes. 'Do not touch my anointed ones, and do my people no harm.'" This was a song of celebration. What was the occasion? What were they celebrating? You know, there are times when it's appropriate for God's people to celebrate. In fact, even God wants people to celebrate. And David wrote this to celebrate something. And to find out what that is, keep your hand here in Psalm 105, but turn over to 1 Chronicles chapter 15. And it tells us what they were celebrating. 1 Chronicles 15. You see, the Ark of the Covenant, that box, you remember Raiders of the Lost Ark? That box in which were kept the Ten Commandments, in which were kept the rod of Aaron, which budded, and which were kept some of the manna which they had received in the wilderness. That ark had been taken by the enemy. The enemies had captured the ark and had taken the ark. And now the ark was being brought back to its place, to its rightful place in the tabernacle. You remember the first attempt to do that? The first time they attempted to do that had ended in failure. It ended in disaster because they did not obey the commands of God on how to bring that back. But now they're bringing back the ark, and he prepares to bring this back. And look what it says. Look at chapter 15, verses 12 through 16. It says, "And he said to them, 'You are the heads of the fathers' households of the Levites. Consecrate yourself, both you and your relatives, that you may bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel to the place that I prepared for it. Because you did not carry it at first, the Lord our God made an outburst on us.'" God had told them how to carry that ark. They didn't do that. They didn't do that. "And God made an outburst on them, for we did not seek him according to the ordinance. So the priests and the Levites consecrated themselves to bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel. The sons of the Levites carried the ark of God on their shoulders with poles thereon, as Moses had commanded according to the word of the Lord. Then David spoke to the chiefs of the Levites to appoint their relatives, the singers, the instruments of music, harps, lyres, loud sounding cymbals, to raise sounds of joy. So here we have the picture. They're bringing the ark back. And now they're doing it the way the Lord told them to do it. Now there's application here for us, for Christians. When we celebrate, whatever the celebration is, we should always make sure that our celebration, everything that's done, should line up with the Word of God. Line up with God's Word. You say, how do we know? Well, you look in the Bible. Everything you do when you celebrate should line up with God's Word. And I think a good way to know if you're celebrating the way God wants you to celebrate would be to ask a question. Would I be comfortable if Jesus came to my celebration? Oh yeah. That's a good way. Does it line up with the Word of God? Would I be comfortable with inviting Jesus to the celebration? Well, he appoints the Levites to carry the ark. The priests and the Levites consecrate themselves. They get the poles. They do it the way the Lord told them to do it. David speaks to the Levites, commands them, appoints singers, musicians. They raise a sound of joy. They celebrate bringing back the ark. And look at verses 28 and 29. Thus all Israel brought up the ark of the covenant of the Lord with shouting, with sounds of the horn, with trumpets, with loud sounding cymbals, and with harps and lyres. It happened when the ark of the covenant of the Lord came to the city of David that Michal, the daughter of Saul, looked out the window and saw King David leaping and what? Celebrating. And she despised him in her heart. They were going along. They were celebrating. They were singing. The musicians were playing. They were shouting. Loud horns, trumpets, loud sounding cymbals, harps, lyres. David's leaping up. He's jumping. He's dancing. How'd you like to see Pastor Les dance today? You're not going to see it. But I'm going to celebrate. I'm going to celebrate. He's dancing before the Lord. He's celebrating. The ark's coming. And down in chapter 16, in verse 4, it says, he appointed some of the Levites as ministers before the ark of the Lord, even to celebrate and to thank and to praise the Lord God of Israel. In verse 7, then on that day, David first assigned Asaph and his relatives to thank the Lord. I'll tell you, when David wrote Psalm 105, verses 1 through 12. In fact, you look at chapter 16 of 1 Chronicles, because starting in verse 7 onward, you know what that is? That's Psalm 105. That's Psalm 105. And we have it again. Turn back to Psalm 105, if you will. Because this is that's the occasion of this celebration. There's a time when it's appropriate for God's people to celebrate. It was right for David to celebrate the return of the ark, God's presence among his people. It's appropriate we celebrate here today. It's appropriate. This morning, the first service in our new sanctuary, and now we have enough space. Well, kind of. For our congregation, and enough space to invite others to come to worship and with us. And I'll tell you what, listen, we shouldn't allow the world to outdo us in celebration. We shouldn't. We should celebrate. We should laugh more heartily. We should praise more loudly. We should rejoice more excitedly than the world does. But the world won't understand that. Do you know that? I'll tell you, the world doesn't understand that. They even criticize. They'll criticize. When David danced, Michal criticized and said, "You're acting like a nut. You're acting crazy." Watch the people up at Cleveland Stadium. I watched the Browns game against the Bengals, and they panned the stands, right? There's people with dog masks on. One woman, they showed her, she painted her face like a dog with the tongue sticking out. And they're over there, you know what they're doing? They're barking. And then they will look at a Christian and say, wow, look at that nut praising God. Celebrate! You know what? We've got something to celebrate. And you know what? Let them call us crazy. Say, you're a nut. Yeah, okay, I'm a nut, but I'm screwed to the right bolt. Ha! Huh. Amen! The occasion to celebrate was the return of the ark. The occasion for us today, well, one thing is that we're in our new sanctuary. But really, the reasons for celebration, the reasons, you know, we always have a reason to celebrate. Reasons, don't we, as Christians? We don't have to wait for a Super Bowl win. Well, I hope not. You see that t-shirt that they have out now? Please win one before I die. It's true. It's true, Randy. Oh, yeah. We don't have to wait for that. We can always celebrate. Why did they celebrate? And we can celebrate. We can always celebrate God, who He is. Do you see Psalm 105? Celebrate God. Celebrate God. He's a personal God. Praise God, we have someone to thank. You see the first words of Psalm 105? Oh, give thanks to the Lord. You know, I feel sorry for atheists. Because atheists look at a beautiful sunset and they have no one to thank. Isn't that sad? They have no one to thank. We have a personal God. We have the presence of God. We can celebrate God because He's personal. We can, you know what it says there? Call on His name. What's that? We can pray. You know, isn't it wonderful to have prayer and to be able to talk to a living God? You know, I've been with a lot of people that have been going through a lot of trials, a lot of hurt and pain in the last couple weeks. And you know, one thing that has brought comfort is that we can go and pray. Amen. We can get down on our knees and pray. Yeah. And know that somebody is listening. Yeah. And so many people last couple weeks have said, Pastor, what do people do that don't know God? Don't know the Lord? When it comes to times like these. But thank God, we have a personal God. We can call on His name. We can pray to Him. And you know what? He speaks to us. Amen. Through the Spirit of God, through the Word of God, God speaks to His people. We can celebrate His compassion and care. He's not the God of the deist. He's not the God that got everything started and then went on vacation. He is intimately involved in the lives of His people. We can celebrate that. He is near. In Him we live and move and have our very being. He is close. Celebrate that. Emmanuel! What? God with us. He's right here today. I'm celebrating His presence. They were bringing back the presence of God. We can celebrate His presence. He's here. Praise God. Praise God. We can celebrate, listen, His holiness. Do you see it there in Psalm 105, verse 3? Glory in His holy name. God's holiness. The beauty of the Lord is His holiness. This same David said, one thing I've asked of the Lord that I should seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the day of my life, that I may behold the beauty of the Lord in His sanctuary. We have a holy God. We can celebrate. In fact, that word glory, it boast. We can boast in His holy name. We can praise him because he is omnipotent, all-powerful, omniscient, all-knowing. He is merciful and gracious and slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness and truth. He is faithful God. He enters into covenant with his people. That's verses 8 through 10 or 11. He is a promise giver and he is a promise keeper. Praise God. God is someone to be celebrated just for being him. David is expanded in this expanded version over in chapter 16 of 1 Chronicles says, great is the Lord and greatly to be celebrated, praised. That's what he says. So you know what? We can always celebrate because of God and who he is. But not only that, we can celebrate what God has done. What God has done. To do this, we've got to do what it says in verse 5 of 105. We've got to remember. See what it says there? Remember. Remember his wonders, which he has done, his marvels and his judgments uttered by his mouth. Remember. And I'll tell you what, all we have to do to celebrate is to remember what God's done. Amen. That God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I'll tell you what, we can remember, God gave Jesus. Did you hear what the praise team sang in their offertory? That he sent his Son. That's amazing. But he sent his Son to die on the cross, so that he would take the sins of the world upon himself, so that we might be forgiven. Hallelujah! Celebrate! Oh, we can celebrate the cross. We can always celebrate the cross. I'll tell you what. Do you ever kind of feel like God doesn't love you? I'll tell you, there are times in my life where I know he loves people and the world, and I know he loves you. But sometimes I feel like, God, I'm struggling. Do you really love me? And then he always takes me to the cross. And then I know, you know what? He did that for me. And you know what? He did it for you. He died for your sins. And we love, don't we love, it is well with my soul, the third verse. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole. Was what? Nailed to the cross. And I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. So we always have the cross to celebrate. And we have an empty tomb to celebrate. We have an empty tomb. We have a living Savior. Just like Sister Kathy read in that first chapter of Revelation. We have a living Savior, someone who came out of the tomb. He is the Alpha, the Omega. He was dead, but now he's alive forevermore. There's only one living Savior, and that's Jesus. Celebrate. I tell you, just remember. Just remember. But there's other things we remember. And verses 8 through 45 of this psalm, the psalmist does. He remembers what God had done for his people. This is called, by the way, an historic psalm. An historic psalm. The psalmist's application is to remember what God had done, his wonders, his marvels, his judgments. Our God's an awesome God. He's done awesome things. Remember and celebrate. And celebrate. These last couple weeks, I've been remembering. I've been remembering some things that God has done for this church. I remember 21 people. 21 people back in 1984 said, you know what? We believe that God is calling us to start a church, a new church. I remember that. I remember meeting in the Greyhound bus station. That's where our first meeting was. Reverend Esley Patch, back in the corner back there, Back Row Baptist, met in his office in the Greyhound bus station. I remember. And then we moved from there. By the way, do you see what it says down here in verses 12? It says, when they were only few men in number, very few and strangers in it. I remember 21. And they wandered about from nation to nation and one kingdom to another people. I remember wandering from the bus station to the Summit County Medical Building. And we met in the conference hall at the medical building. And our Sunday school and our nursery was the hallway of the medical building. How many remember that? Some of them remember that. And then we wandered from there over to Akron Christian School over on Newton Street and met in the gymnasium. And I remember it was in August and September, and I remember all the flies that came to service. I remember. And then we got a little clip in the paper from a man who was a member here at the church, Jim Steele. He said, I saw this little advertisement that there's a Grange Hall over in Talmadge that's up for sale. I remember. And I remember coming over to the Grange Hall, which was located right over there. It was a basement building. And I remember walking down the stairs and God speaking to me and saying, this is where you're going to be. This is where you're going to be. And one day, this will make a great church basement. I remember. That's what I heard. I remember that. And I remember meeting in the bunker. We called it the bunker. And I remember, do you remember the worship services we had there? Oh, the sweet worship services. People would come down there and they would say, man, this is like an old-time revival. And we had some wonderful worship services there. And then I remember moving to the upper room, our other sanctuary over here, and how God brought us there and the worship services there. I remember what God has done. And now we're meeting here. You know what he's taught me? First of all, it doesn't matter where you meet. He taught me that, you know, you can worship in an office in the Greyhound bus station. You can worship in the medical building in a conference room. You can worship in a gymnasium. You can worship in a basement. Or you can worship in a beautiful sanctuary. This is not the church. This is the church. That's what he's taught. I remember and just celebrate what God has done. What's God done? Over the 35 years of this church, I'm just calculating here, but 50 to 60 missionaries have been supported by this church. I remember that this church has built now 15 other churches, buildings around the world. Praise God. We have a church in India. We have a church in Nepal. We have a church in Vietnam. We have a church in Cambodia. We have a church in Zimbabwe. We have a church in Tanzania. We have a church in Ukraine. We have a church in Pakistan. We have churches. 15 churches all over the world. I remembered that he's allowed us to give now over 25% of our budget to missions. And you say, wow, aren't we good? No, don't pat. No. That's grace of God. That's God's grace. To God be the glory. Praise his name. Praise his name. And I remember the people that have come and accepted Christ. I remember there's been many, many people come to receive Christ. In fact, I remember the last Sunday over in our sanctuary, a young girl came forward and asked Jesus into her heart. Praise God. Amen. I remember. And what God has done. I remember the love. I remember the people that God has brought to this church. And you know what? God has done a wonderful, wonderful work here. And he's not done. And I'll tell you what, today is a day of celebration. It's appropriate that we celebrate. So praise God. Let's do it. And you know what? But we know, don't, we're sailing the high seas. Celebration, Brother Jeremy.
Preachers and no clock. For some of us, this is a dream come true. And yeah. So there's lots of things changing, and there's no clock. I see people looking, it's really not there. So there are lots of things changing. One thing remains the same, and that is the Lord our God. He never changes. And these have been quoted already, but I, the Lord, he said, do not change in Malachi. There is no change with him, no shifting of shadow, it says in James. God's word, the Bible, does not change. Amen? It doesn't change. It has not changed. It does not change. It will never change. We have this word. And so those are good constants, because in this unchanging scripture, we see the record. It's the record that he'd referenced, and they went back to it over and over and over in the New and Old Testaments. All the things that God had done. And the remembrance is so important. And the question that I want to ask, and this is the reason that I'm here, is because one of the things that doesn't change also is us. God doesn't change. He's good and he's perfect and he's holy. And we are always weak and we're always struggling, right? We're always struggling with sin. We've always got this battle that we face and we struggle. And so the question is this morning, what happens if we forget? That's why I want to come up here, and just the second C is the sea of caution. The sea of caution. Because it is a time of celebration. It's a time that we want to remember and we want to praise the Lord, and we rightly should praise, and we should praise loudly. But it's also a time for us to be cautious. And to see that, I want to take you to two places. If you turn with me to Deuteronomy. And we're just going to do a couple of verses throughout, so Deuteronomy 4 will be where we start. And it's a little dangerous to use Deuteronomy this morning for the reason that here we find a people of God, the people of God, and they're getting ready to enter into the promised land. Okay, and so we're just going to resist the urge this morning to equate ourselves with the people of Israel in any way. They had a long wandering in the wilderness, 40 years. We had a long construction project for 40 or whatever it was. Okay. Okay, but that was not our wilderness experience. I'm not trying to say that. And this is not the promised land. Okay, so we're not saying those things this morning. But there are some similarities between us and them. Because they were a people who were being called to remember. And through these first chapters of Deuteronomy, Moses has said, hey, remember what the Lord did. Remember what the Lord did. But then he gives them this caution in chapter 4, starting in verse 9. Only take care and keep your souls diligently, lest you forget the things that your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. Make them known to your children and to your children's children. And so they'd seen God do all of these extraordinary things. I mean, he had yanked over a million people out of the desert in Egypt, out of slavery and bondage, and marched them through the Red Sea and across the desert, right? And along the way, he had given them shade during the day. He'd given them light at night. He'd given them water from stone. He'd given them bread from the heavens. And he'd made sure that their clothes and their sandals didn't even wear out. He provided for every single need they ever had. And we're similar to that in some ways, because we've seen the Lord do extraordinary things, haven't we? Many of us, Lord willing, more and more of us have been radically delivered from the power of sin. We've been set free from the bondage and slavery of sin. We've been set free from addictions. We have seen the Lord transform us into new people. And Lord willing, we'll see that more and more. And he's always provided for our needs. There are people who are struggling to meet their needs today, aren't there? There are. Some of us sitting in this room are having a struggle meeting needs. But guess what? God's going to meet our needs. He's going to meet our needs. He's going to make sure we have the food and the clothing and the shelter that we need always. But more than all of these things for the Israelites and for us, he's with us. He just said, he is with us inside us. He has given us his presence. And so he's with us. and he was with them. And his caution, Moses' caution is, don't forget the Lord. Yes. Don't forget him. Take care, he says. Keep your ways diligently. Hold on to this stuff. Keep it in your hearts. And I fear for us, because we're sinful just like they are, that we're forgetful people. And so we have to have caution. We need to call it what it is. We can't forget this stuff. We can't forget God and who he is and what he's done. Lest you forget. Okay, and so we see a couple of things. We see at least two, but we see two things at least in Deuteronomy that are going to happen if they forget. So turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 8, if you would. What happens if they forget? First, they might begin to take credit. He talked about no pats on the back. They might begin to take credit for the many blessings that God was going to give them once they got over to the promised land. Okay, we see that in chapter 8, starting in verse 11. Take care, he says, lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his rules and his statutes, which I command you today, lest when you have eaten and you are full and have built good houses and live in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply and your silver and gold is multiplied and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart be lifted up and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, who led you through the great and terrifying wilderness. Skipping down to verse 17. Beware lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. Amen. They had to be careful, because when things started to get really good in the promised land, and it was going to get really good in the promised land, that they didn't look around at all their stuff and all the things that were going right and all the blessings and say, man, look what we did. Look at this is fantastic. Right? They needed to be careful not to do that. If they forget God, right, they might start to credit themselves. They might start to credit themselves. God forbid this church from falling into the same foolish pride and self-focus. Amen. We can't do it. We can't do it. Let us never look around at the building God has given us or the people that he sends here and think, my, look what we've done. We have arrived. Finally. You know, and it's true, finally. But we haven't arrived. And it's certainly it wasn't by our power that we got here. And no matter how this goes, we fix our eyes on him. We don't look to ourselves. We never credit ourselves. We never credit each other. We credit Jesus Christ. Amen? All glory be to Christ. All glory be to Christ. The second thing that was going to happen if Israel forgot God, if they got over there in that land and they forgot who God was, is idolatry. And you know, if you read the Old Testament, we see warnings about idolatry all over the place. No idol worship, no idol worship. And in Deuteronomy, it's the same. Okay? Turn over with me to Deuteronomy 6. Love to hear those pages. Love to hear those pages. It's good. That's right. I can't hear that other thing. Starting in verse 12. Take care lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. By the way, if you think preachers repeat themselves, this is like all within a couple of pages of each other, right? Moses is hammering this thing, right? You're like, take care lest you forget, right? Lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt and the house of slavery. It is the Lord your God you shall fear. Him you shall serve. By his name you shall swear. You shall not go after other gods, the gods of the peoples who are around you. Listen to that. The gods of the peoples who are around you. For the Lord your God is in your midst. He is a jealous God, lest the anger of the Lord be kindled against you, and he destroy you from off the face of the earth. God takes idol worship very, very, very seriously. Very seriously. And they had all kinds of things that they had a choice of worship over in the promised land. There were all kinds of peoples with all kinds of gods. And I usually skip over in chapter 4. Moses says, you know, don't worship carved images. Don't make for yourselves images out of the animals or out of the plants and all these things. And I usually just kind of, okay, you know, and I move past that. And I don't want to, I'm just going to spend like two sentences on this, but hear this. Because the thing is, there are cultures around our culture that do some of those kinds of things. And I just want to mention it because Scripture mentions it, right? But we might have the temptation to put something around our neck, right? That we put some sort of trust in. We think that thing does something for us. It protects us, or it It gives us a fortune or something like that. It protects us from evil. That's an idol. That's an idol. We might be tempted to hang something from our rearview mirror or on our bedroom wall or in the wall of our house that traps bad thoughts or stops bad dreams or these kinds of things. That's an idol. We might be tempted to put a statue or something in our yards as a way to have God's blessing come upon our house. That's an idol. That's an idol. And the reason that I bring it up is because Scripture brings it up. But the other reason that I bring it up is because if we're doing that as individuals, that's more of an individual type thing, right? It's not a corporate thing. But if we're willing to do that as individuals, it's very much more likely that those kinds of things can come in here, right? What we do out there, outside of this room, right, is going to come into this room, right? We can't differentiate those things. And so we got to be careful that we don't give into those small g gods of our culture, right? But here's the other thing. There are more corporate-type idols. What about this? Yeah? Yeah, this is no big deal, right? Because it's $1. Poor Harrison, he had $2 he was going to put in the offering plate, and I forgot my sermon illustration, so I snatched it. And he was like, actually, he had two, so I left him one and I kept one. That worked out good. But this is no big deal. But the thing is, if you pile enough of these up down the street at the circle in a building, like, we're not going to put our faith and our trust in this, but we might start to depend on the knowledge of that. We get an account down there, and then we think that our security lies down there at the circle or in some bank account somewhere that somehow that's what's going to protect us. This is man-made stuff, folks, right? And this is stuff that our culture worships. It's stuff that we use and that we need, but we dare not, right, give in to the worship of this. What about likes? About likes. You guys know what I'm talking about. What about clicks? What about acceptance, right? The god of acceptance. Think our culture idolizes that? Absolutely it does. We evaluate ourselves based on our online social media postings and what people are saying about us and these kinds of things. We dare not, folks, idolize what people think and their likes and their acceptance, right? What about the building? Building is beautiful, by the way. Fabulous. So glad that we're here, right? So glad for all the hard work. But what about the building? Think we could turn that into an idol? Think we could turn that into something that we think we have to have, that we can't worship anywhere, as Pastor just preached? It's pretty. It's beautiful. We love it. But we got to be super careful, right? We got to have this caution, right? We don't want to turn this into an idol, something that we worship. Those three things, by the way, those three idols that I mentioned, money and acceptance and buildings, those are idols that feed off of each other. And here's how. If we start to idolize the building, then we're going to start to idolize the money that it takes to keep it and keep it up. Right? Yeah. Could fall right down that path, couldn't we? And if we start to idolize the building and then we start to idolize the money that we need to keep it and keep it up and pay the bills and those things, then guess what? We're going to start to idolize the acceptance of our culture. We're going to start to really put high value on people's opinions and what are they saying about our church and, oh man, and where does that road lead? It leads to compromise. It leads to the compromise of this book. And then we start inviting people, we're just going to tell them what they want to hear. We got to pay the bills. We got to keep the light. We got to find out what people want and what they like, and then we're going to try to give them that. And we start giving programs more than we start giving the gospel of Jesus Christ. God help us to not forget Him and then stumble into idol worship. See, the thing is, idol worship is not, you know, we have this image in our head that we fall down and we worship this little bit of whatever, and that goes on. But much more likely that this other stuff goes on. That's right. Much more likely. God protect us from forgetting Him and turning to idol worship. Amen. Amen. All glory be to Christ, Amen. Our King. Amen. All glory be to Him. Now, quickly, if you take a big right turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews 12. And here in the book of Hebrews, it's similar, right? We've walked through, Pastor walked us through a lot of what God did for the Israelites, and I've mentioned that. And he walked us through a lot of what a lot of what God did for our church and the stages and the things that he's brought us through, right? And this people here is the New Testament church, and they've just been reminded, you know, in Hebrews chapter 11, by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith, right? And they're reminded of the faithfulness of the people that came before them and the faithfulness of God to them, okay? And so there are people that have been reminded, and then the writer of the Hebrews opens in verse 12 with these words. He says, therefore, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of God. This is stated as more of a challenge than a caution. But he challenges them, he cautions them, let's not pick up weights. Weights, and Pastor Les just preached on this not that long ago, but weights are any good thing, maybe. Anything that we pick up along the way that slow us down in our ministry, in our service to Jesus Christ, in our worship of God. He says, let us lay aside all the weights, anything that we've picked up along the way, and sin. He said this already, but sin. He says, let us cast off the sin which clings so closely, the stuff that ensnares us and trips us up. It grabs a hold of us. It entangles us. And we got to throw it off. How are we going to know what it is? We got to stay in this book. That's the only way we're going to know what sin is. If we continually teach and preach and study and read this book over and over and over again, God uses his Holy Spirit and this word to show us, right? To show us our sin. And he does that. I was thinking about pain this morning when I was thinking about this. The thing is, pain is a really good thing. Pain keeps us safe, doesn't it? Right? That's how we know not to touch the stove. And that's how we know. I mean, God has wired us, right? So that when something happens that's painful, we don't want to do that. The reason that we can get convicted about our sin is because God don't want us to do that. Right? It doesn't feel good. It doesn't feel good, but he convicts us because he wants us to step back from that. He wants us to give it to him. He doesn't make us feel bad so that we'll be miserable. Right? He makes us feel bad so that we'll cast our cares upon him. That we'll give and confess our sins to him. And here's the thing. We may get tempted someday. I don't foresee this happening, but we need to say it out loud. It may be tempting for us someday to not talk about sin in this room. We might start to get tempted to not mention sin. We don't want to talk about sin anymore. Right? It just makes people feel bad. You know, we don't like that. We don't want to, let's just back off that part. God help us, right? To continue to confess our sins to him, right? To continue to confront it in ourselves and to confront it, by the way, in each other. God help us. That's hard work, man. But he will help us to do it. And we've got to resist the temptation to not talk about sin in this building, right? Because if we stop talking about sin, guess what else we're going to talk about less and less and less? Jesus Christ, right? You stop mentioning sin, the churches that don't mention sin a whole lot, guess what? They don't mention Jesus a whole lot either. Sin goes away and it becomes all about God, right? And we start to just leave off little words and little things. We can't do that. We can't do that as long as we're here. We got to continue to talk about sin. We need to heed the warning from 1 Peter 5:8. He says this, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around you like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. How does Satan seek to devour us? By getting us to sin. That's the first way, right? How else does he get to devour us? He gets us to devour each other. He gets us to devour each other, doesn't he? If you bite and devour one another, watch out that you're not consumed by one another. That's Galatians 5:15. And we've been praying for a long time about this. We've been praying in anticipation of getting over here and getting this building. And God, keep our church together. Help us not to be divided. Protect us from division. We need to keep praying those prayers. Just because we're here, we don't let off the gas. Randy Lay prayed a beautiful prayer. It was 2 weeks ago, but it was right on about not letting our guard down. Right? We don't let our guard down. We got to keep division out of here. Right? Now, listen to me. We don't always agree. Let's just plan on that, okay? We're not always going to agree. And I almost made some lists of things that we might disagree on, and I could have spent the rest of my life doing that, right? And we all know what they are. We know what they are. We're not going to agree, okay? So there's that. We might move around, and we might switch sides and all that other stuff. I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying we're not always going to agree, but guess what? We can certainly help how we disagree. We can help how we disagree. We can help whether or not we talk about each other, right? We can help whether or not we slander. We can help whether or not we murmur and complain and grumble. We can help those things, and we must help those things, because Satan roams around us like a roaring lion, and he's seeking somebody to devour. And when we do those things, we play right into his hands. And we'll be destroyed. We'll be destroyed. One more thing that'll happen if we stop talking about sin in here, I already mentioned it, is that we'll stop talking about Jesus as much. We have to give our sin to him. We have to confess our sins to him. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Right? If we sin, we have an advocate. This is all 1 John chapter 1 and starting in chapter 2. But if we sin, we have an advocate, and he's Jesus Christ the righteous. And he's the propitiation of our sin. He satisfied God's wrath against our sin. We need to be a church who continually turning away from sin and hating our sin and giving it to Jesus and confessing our sins to Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. We need to be a church that is all about Jesus. Right? That praises and worships him and holds him up and runs to him, our Savior, our Shepherd, our King, our Deliverer. And this leads us right into our third C, our final C. Pastor, you want to, I don't know how we're going to do this part, but you can come on up. Okay, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. We haven't really worked this out. We're going to share this pulpit, I guess, for a minute.
It's a dueling pulpit.
Yeah, there we go. But we have the third C, and that's continuation. What are we going to continue to do? And we've said it throughout the whole message. Right? We've said it throughout the whole morning. But these are some of the things, some of the essential things that we're going to continue to do. And the first one is worship. We're going to continue to worship God. We're going to continue Amen. To worship him. John 4:23 says, but the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For these are the worshipers that the Father is seeking, such people to worship him. God is spirit, and his people are going to worship him in spirit and in truth. And by the way, this is not just a music thing.
Amen.
Right? This is not just a song service thing. It's not a song service plus the offering and the preaching thing. It's not a Sunday morning thing. It's a 365 days a year thing.
Amen.
Right? Our worship needs to continue individually as we leave this building. We come in here to do it with each other. Right? But we've got to do it in our lives. It's where we go. It's how we speak. It's who we talk to. All of those things. We worship the Lord with those things. Pastor already said it. Okay? So that's the first thing that we're going to continue to do is worship the Lord.
Amen. We're going to continue to worship, but we're going to continue to preach and teach the Word of God in this church.
Amen.
Because we believe that the Word of God is inerrant, infallible, totally authoritative. It is God's Word.
Amen.
We believe in plenary inspiration of Scripture. That means it is God's Word from the front cover to the back. From in the beginning, God created the heavens and earth, to the last verse in the Bible, that may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We're going to continue to preach and teach the Word of God. I just want to say this to some people, and this may disappoint you. We're not going to have smoke machines in this church. No smoke machines and no strobe lights. Because you know what? If you get people to come to church with gimmicks, you got to keep them with gimmicks.
Right.
But if you get people to come to church by preaching the Word of God, you got to keep them by preaching the Word of God. And we are going to preach the Word of God because all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, Amen. That the man and woman of God may be thoroughly furnished, adequately equipped for every good work and deed.
Amen.
The Word of God is profitable for doctrine. It tells us what is right. It is profitable for correction. It tells us what is not right. It's profitable for reproof. For reproof, it tells us what is not right. For correction, it tells us how to get right. And it's profitable for instruction in righteousness. It tells us how to stay right. And you know what? We're going to preach the Word.
Amen.
And teach the Word. in season, out of season. We're going to reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction, because a time is coming when men will not endure sound doctrine. But they're going to want their what? Their ears tickled. They're not going to want to hear about sin, Brother Jeremy. They're not going to want to hear about things in the Bible, the truth of God's Word. They'll heap up teachers for themselves after their own desires. Time's coming. Friends, I think the time is. But I'm going to tell you, we're going to continue to worship God in this church. And we're going to continue, as long as I'm here and as long as this man's here and the leaders of this church are here, we're going to continue to preach and teach the Word of God. What else, Brother Jeremy? What else are we going to continue with?
We're going to continue to pray.
Amen.
We got to continue to pray, right? And we talked about Wednesday nights. Wednesday nights are awesome, but Wednesday nights aren't the only time. That's corporate prayer. Wednesday nights at 7. I encourage you to come. But we got to be praying. Pray without ceasing, Paul told the Thessalonians. Pray at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication to that end. Keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. That's Ephesians in chapter 6. And prayer saturated the earthly life of Jesus Christ. If Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Messiah, went away to private places to pray continually, then we better be doing that probably.
Amen.
We've got to continue praying. We've got to pray without ceasing. And we see the early church all throughout Acts. They get together and they devoted themselves to prayer. That's one of the four things they devoted themselves to prayer. And so we've got to keep praying as a church.
Amen. Amen. We got to pray. And you know something else we need to be devoted to? Fellowship. Fellowship. And Jeremy just mentioned Acts 2:42. You know, in the early church, it says they continued to devote themselves. They were continually devoting themselves to four things. First of all, the apostles' teaching. That's preaching the teaching of God's word. Second, fellowship. Then the breaking of bread. And then prayer. So we've already mentioned worship and preaching of God's word and prayer. But one of the things that was important in the early church was fellowship. Is fellowship important? Oh my, oh my, oh my. The word is, who knows the word? What is it? What is it in the original? Koinonia. You know what that means? That means shared life. That means being together as a church. That means, you know what? We're in this together.
That's right.
That means we do life together. Yes. It's not just potlucks. By the way, I love potlucks. I'm a Baptist at heart. I love potlucks. I do. But does fellowship take place at potlucks?
Absolutely.
It should. I mean, you're eating, you're sharing a meal together. And you know, sometimes that's the best time you start talking to somebody. You get into each other's lives. You pray for one another. I'll tell you, fellowship is extremely important. And the love in the church is so important. Right. Jesus said what? By this, all men will know you're my disciples, by how well you preach. No, that wasn't it. How well you teach the Sunday school. No. By how much you give.
Just going to put it in the plate anyway.
No. People are going to know we're Christ's disciples by what? By the love we have for one another. And it's been such a delight, I'll tell you, and I give all glory to God to have people come into this church. 2 weeks ago, I was standing over right at the entrance of the sanctuary. A woman came through. She said, "This is the most loving church I've ever stepped into." Praise God!
Amen.
You know what's going to grow the church? Preaching of the Word of God. Preaching of the Word of God. Prayer. And loving people.
Amen.
Loving people. When people come through these doors, they ought to sense the love of Jesus Christ. Amen. No one should be able to come in and get out of this place without somebody coming over and just greeting them and sharing Jesus' love with them. And you know, that's fellowship. And fellowship just doesn't happen here at church either. Like prayer doesn't just happen here at church. We invite people into our homes. We open up our homes. We're together. We're doing this thing together.
Amen.
That's fellowship. And fellowship's not going to change in this church. What else, what else are we going to continue in,
Jeremy? We're going to continue to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
There's only one message that's the power of God for salvation for everybody who believes it, right? And that's the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the most important message that we have of the church is this, that Christ, and I drill this into the teenagers' heads, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures.
Amen.
All the sin that we talked about, we can give it to him. He died for it. We confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Here's the thing. We got to keep that message. We can't let go of that message. And we're going to continue to preach the gospel and share the gospel and teach the gospel. Here's what I want to do this morning. I want to say this. If you're in this room, whether for the first time, well, we're all in here for the first time. How about that?
God, yes.
All right. So if you're in the church for the first time, but here's the thing. You can go to church 100,000 times and not be saved.
That's right.
It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter where you come from. And so if you need Jesus this morning, if during the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ and during the preaching of his word, the Lord has showed you that you need him, that you've got sin that you just can't get rid of and all of that, guess what? He's here for you. Call upon his name. Put your trust and faith in him. Believe the gospel and be saved. Call upon his name. And I urge you to do that even right now. You can just stop and just start calling on him. Okay? If you would like more prayer or counseling, or you got questions about that kind of thing, we got these two rooms over here after service. You can make your way through the crowd and just back there, and some men and women of that are leaders of the church will be there to help you any way we can. Okay? But I urge you, first of all, to believe the gospel. But second of all, to share the gospel, to preach the gospel, to teach the gospel, right? To our kids on down. Amen?
Amen. Amen. And lastly, we're going to continue to be a missions church. We've always considered ourselves a missions church. Matthew 28, 18 through 20 says, Jesus said to them, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and in earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." And our job, listen, church, our job's not done till the last person on planet Earth has an opportunity to hear the gospel and to respond to that gospel. Until that time, we've got a mission.
Amen.
And this church is going to be a missions church. We're going to support missionaries. We're going to send missionaries. We've done that. We're going to take missions trips. We're going to get out, and we're going to take this gospel to the uttermost parts. And the promise of Jesus is with us. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age.
Amen.
That's us. Amen. Praise his name.
Amen.
So, let's celebrate. Celebrate God and who he is, and celebrate what he has done. Let's be cautious. No compromise. We've got to be careful. You know, let's not let our guard down. We still got an enemy, right? We've got to keep on going. We're not done. We're just starting. And we want to say this, a lot of changes. Change in environment, change in and some in venue and all this kind of stuff. But I'll tell you, this is going to stay the same. We're going to worship God in spirit and in truth. We're going to preach and teach the gospel. We're going to pray like it all depends on him, right? Because it does. And we're going to fellowship. We're going to love each other. We are going to preach the gospel. And we are going to send and we are going to be a missions church. That's not going to change. And you know what? To God be all the glory.
Amen.
Amen.